Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Hello, everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booger County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And we are very, very honored to have as our guest beginning Saturday, the 31st of July, Grandfather Hunbatsman. To my knowledge, Grandfather Hunbats hasn't been, I could be wrong, but I've never heard him interviewed anywhere. And in any case, we're very honored to have him. Robert Ghost Wolf arranged this interview, and so first let me introduce Dr. Robert Ghost Wolf, and he'll interview or introduce Grandfather Hunbats, and we'll go from there. So, Robert, go ahead.
Osayo, and probably what would be more appropriate today would be to say Ilakesh, and I am your other self in Mayan. And we are very honored today to have Grandfather Hunbatsman with us. He is a Mayan daykeeper. He's revered and known around the world. He just came back from a tour, I believe, in Germany and England, yes, where he did ceremonies with Celts and talked to our brothers over there. And he's been gracious enough to spend some time with us today. He will be back again, because how can you tell the Mayan story in, you know, an hour, even 3 hours? if any of you have ever gone down to Mile End, you know that you can spend months there and still not get the whole story. But we're very honored today to have Hombudsman with us, and I'd just like to say, Hombuds, welcome to Prophecy Keepers.
Thank you very much, Robert, and the honor is for me to speak with the people and say something for the people in the United States. So the honor is for me. So, what can I say?
You're got it, daughter.
Well, there's a lot of people that are really interested in what you have to say. I know you have an internet connection. At least you have a website, and we do have mutual friends. We've interviewed Jaime Perez concerning his activities, and I understand he's done some translation work for you. We've also interviewed Ron Pastore of Mound Matrix, and I understand that you're familiar with Ron and his activities. And Grandfather Humbot, you're on a lot of people's tongues and in a lot of people's minds up here, and we're not trying to flatter you, but this is going to be listened to by a lot of people. This interview will be available permanently. People will be able to listen to it anytime they want to, just by clicking on a link on an internet website. And anyway, we're just very, very pleased, and I know a lot of people are going to really enjoy hearing what you have to say.
Okay.
What do we start with? Prophecies?
Whatever he'd like to talk about.
Okay. Well, you know, the Mayas, we have many prophecies. We have the prophecy of the calendar they're speaking now. We have the prophecy of the destruction of the air. So, we have the prophecy of the atomic bomb too. But I can speak about a little about the prophecy of the Mother Earth. You know, we have some woman long time ago, before the Spanish came to this Mayan land, she spoke about the prophecy of the destruction of the earth. And this woman, the name is Nishnukin gave the prophecy about when they begin to fight all the animals in this land and begin to come the destruction between one to another. And one of that animals, he went to close to the last tree exist, and that tree it was there when this animal came to that tree. This animal have a lot of blood on their body, and they begin to die close to that tree, and the tree just died too. So animals and the trees died together. So in that moment, when it happened that the last human, he died too. Because in that moment they saw is no more trees exist in this continent. So now, but how we can interpret say that prophecy today? You know, the last big reservation exists in this continent. The last big reservation of trees exists in this continent is Brazil. And today, huge corporations like Kimberly-Clark have the concessions of Brazil for to take all the trees that exist there. So, but not only Kimberly-Clark exists, another companies, Japanese companies, they taking all the trees, they putting all the trees in Brazil. So, many years ago, I went to the Kogis, the indigenous Kogis. They live Venezuela and Colombia in the border of each country. And I went there, one of the elders, Hopi, speak with me, and later we have some meeting with the Kogis in that place. And they told me like this, something like this. In the sky of this continent is not raining no more. That it means in that place in Colombia and Venezuela in the border exists some place with a very high land when it's possible to live in the place. But they told me when we came to live in this land, Brazil not exists, only the sea is there. Through many thousand years begin to grow all the trees in all today is the name Brazil. And then because the destruction of the jungle of that place, so when they leave the Kogis, it's not raining more. The reason is because exists some magnetic line crossing all Brazil and crossing here in the Maya land, and that line continued to go inside the United States and goes to Canada. So many years ago they told me this person, the Kogis, told me about that, and I was with them. I was there for 2 or 3 weeks living with there, and they showed me many places with no rain anymore in the top of the sky, they say. So
it's turning into a desert.
It begin to be a desert in that land. So but the surprise of me, around 8 years ago, they came a big hurricane here in the Maya land. And when it finished the hurricane, all these coconut trees we have in the beach, in the Caribbean beach, and in Paro, Yucatan, all that trees, they died too. So, but the governor of Mexico, they sent some scientific people to investigate why the coconut trees died. And the theory of all the scientific people, they said, because the hurricane brings some bacteria, and they died all the trees. Well, first, that is the theory of the scientific people. They don't have vision about many things, because, you know, in the land of Yucatan, every year we have 2 or 3 hurricanes. And how many years we were living the Mayas here, and how many hurricanes came to this land? It came thousand hurricanes. And why not died any coconut tree in all that time, like all the coconut trees. So for me, I begin to think and remember what the Kogis told me, and then all the coconut trees, for that reason they say scientific, but that's not the truth, because the really truth is they begin to affect the magnetic line coming from Brazil and touching part of the land here. So they died all the coconut trees because the magnetic line, they affected that. So killing all the trees in Brazil, so affecting some power crossing the Mayan land, that's the reason they died all the coconut trees. But the terrible situation, people from the United States, they think because going to another place to take all these trees, to kill all the trees, like example do that company, Kimberly Clark, going to that place, they think Brazil is far away from the United States. They cannot happen nothing to us. So, but they don't understand the real power of the magnetic power of the air, the magnetic line. They don't understand something about that because they don't have the education for to understand Mother Earth. Mother Earth is only one body, and in that body we are living all the people from all the races in all the world. because they don't understand this, because they don't have the education, because this kind of education, indigenous education, they don't give in any country the really indigenous education, how to love the Mother Earth. So in the United States, you have a big university, big places where they educate people, but they don't understand really the what the indigenous understand about Mother Earth. So what's beginning to happen?
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
The line, this line, killing all the coconut trees in Yucatan, crossed the United States in the area of the east of Texas. Goes inside the United States, cross all the states like in the center of the United States, and then continue in the part of today is the Washington D.C. You know, in Washington D.C. we have many trees there. The last time when I was there, I saw beautiful trees in all that area. So, but the continuing go up to Canada in that place, like in the east,
right,
almost the east coast. So, but the last news I received is some trees from Texas in the east side begin to die too. So the most probably is going to die the trees too. Just when it finish with Brazil, the jungle is going to finish with the trees in the United States too. That part they don't understand in the education they give in that huge country of the United States. So, look, the continent of America have perfect balance. You know, in the north part they have the desert, and in the northern part they have the green part. Like the desert we know is part of the Mexico, Sonora, and New Mexico, and all that states around is a big desert, okay? In the another side exists the green part. So it is the balance it has this continent. But you go into south of this continent, it is the same. In some part like Peru and Ecuador, in that part is a big desert too. In the another side, in the east, is the trees there, like all the Brazil jungle. Okay, well, what's going to happen is just when you finish the trees next year, so the desert is going to grow and cover the South America. And what's going to happen in North America, it's going to happen the same. You see? It's going to happen the same.
Right now we're in the worst 500-year drought that we've had.
Yeah.
There's no water here.
So it's going to happen the same. And, you know, remember now the prophecy of the Shnukim. The prophecy of the Shnukim of Mani. When this woman made that prophecy before the Spanish came. So they spoke about that. All the animals, they're going to fight one to another. And the last animal, just very sick, and, you know, all the damage happened in their body, with a bloody body, is going to be to go to the last tree is there. And animals and the trees, they're going to die together. And then when they die together, the last human is going to die too. You know? So this is some of the prophecies we have. But...
And we're seeing this happening now.
Yes, begin to happen. So, but suppose, this is very important. Suppose we're intelligent. Suppose in the United States, they're very, very much people, very intelligent. I know they know about this. Suppose maybe Bush is intelligent. Maybe, I don't know. So, but they need to do something there, because suppose they're the responsible of this huge society today in all the world. So they need to do something. They need maybe to come to the elders, indigenous elders, and ask them what they think about things begin to happen. Because it looks like all the scientific people exist today, they only have one mind. And that mind is only for the service, the big corporation they work for them. See? So, It's good to try to check prophecies again, because the prophecies, the good prophecies, it's necessary to happen. But the bad prophecies, it's not good to happen. But who can stop this? Only the human. Because we are responsible for every bad thing happen to this beautiful land, to this beautiful world. Only the human, we can do good things. But if we don't understand many things, so the prophecy is going to make to remember us what is coming.
Well, if I might interject, the corporation, basically before the Civil War in the United States, businesses were privately owned or there were partnerships, and the corporation really didn't come to the fore until after the Civil War. And Abraham Lincoln prophesied that if corporations ran unchecked, because the whole idea of a corporation is to evade personal responsibility of humans and to make a corporation a business entity. Anyway, Abraham Lincoln predicted that corporations would probably bring about the downfall of the United States. So, they are getting pretty greedy nowadays, Grandfather Hunbots.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Well, I cannot even imagine. And just for example, last night, you did a show last night that was 90 minutes starting at 7:30.
That's right.
Then you went through that. Then you came here. You're here this morning.
That's right.
Doing all of this.
It's nonstop. I don't sleep anymore.
No. All right. So where do you get the energy? Seriously. I mean, look at you.
Well.
We've known each other a long time. Yeah. We've passed. You don't ever get older.
Well, thank you. It's quite funny because, you know, people are kind of shocked when they hear that I'm 54 years old. And they say, how do you keep your youth? I have found something, Dr. Phil, that I think is the closest thing to the fountain of youth.
Oh, you do have a secret.
I have a secret, and I've never really talked about it. Well, I've been doing this for the last 2 years. It's called Protandem, and it works. And I'm telling everybody about this.
You feel differently.
I do.
Because you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off.
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, you're hitting the times. You're getting where you're supposed to be.
I have to be on the spot all the time.
Now, I've got three sisters. and we get along great 1,500 miles apart. I cannot imagine.
It takes me 1,600 miles.
Yeah, but I can't imagine working with my sister every day. What do you do when you have disagreements? Because you have to have disagreements, right? Because
well,
you're both producers.
Yeah, we're both producers, and that's difficult because we're both type A, and you're going to butt heads. What's really interesting about the Donnie Marie duo is that it doesn't really matter how much we butt the heads when that curtain goes.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
But the thing is that we have a choice. We don't have to. We can sit and watch it happen and say we can't do anything, or we can actually take an active role and change it. I think that that's something that's lacking with people today, because every time we do things like when we get together on the radio and we do a group prayer for some place, you know, which has been done from time to time, and we stop a drought or we stop a flood, and then people go, well, we really can't do this because we're not supposed to meddle. And the thing is that some sort of philosophy is robbing people of their power. We're supposed to work and dance in harmony with the earth. We're supposed to do things like that, I feel.
Yeah, you have a...
Am I wrong, Lombas? I mean, we have the ability to change disaster.
Yes, yes.
You know?
God make us for to understand this.
And spirit doesn't know what you want unless you ask.
Exactly.
Spirit just goes, well, maybe they want it this way, you know?
Yeah.
Because the spirit sort of sits there and goes, well, they've been gone before and we brought them back.
When Tepeu and Google Maps, our creators, they were in some place in the space, and Tepeu and Google Maps say one to another, look, this is time to create the human. And then one of them say, but they don't have where to live. They say, we can create the place. And then they create this beautiful place where we're living today. And they say to Pongumat, we need to create the human and then make and educate them to believe in us because we are the creators. And then they make to appear the air, they make beautiful rivers, beautiful seas, everything beautiful. And Tepeungguma say, this is the time to put the human in this place. And they put in one place here, and not in another place, and not in another place. But for us, the Mayas, they put this in this continent. And he say, believe in us, and pray to us, because in that way, we can have the eternal communication, and we can protect you, and you can protect us too, because we exist, the Peongguma say. We exist because you exist. If you don't exist, I don't exist too. So that's the agreement, the reason they put here in this beautiful land. So for thousand years, that's one of the reasons all the Mayas for many thousand years, we did rituals to everything. We did rituals for the water, for the wind, for the fire, for everything exists and gives us life. We did rituals. The reason it was because Tepeu and Gugu must give us the indication to work with them. You see. But later, when they change everything, and key in this continent, people, they don't believe in the wind. They don't believe in the air. They don't believe in nothing, only some kind of image they create. And then...
You're talking about the younger brothers.
Yes, everything changes. And now, most of my people, most of my Mayan people, they don't know what to believe, what things to believe. So, but only a few people, we are the elders who have now the Council of the Mayas. Only that people will believe in the same things they give us to believe. And that education they give to believe in Tepeo Gugumat, it really doesn't be true. Because just when they begin to die, the rivers begin to die, the wind begin to die, the clouds, and begin to happen something in the sky, so now the destruction begin to come. And then everything is going to die. And then, maybe Tepeo Gugumas, they're going to call us, tell us what's happened. I give you all these things, you take care. And now, you're coming back with nothing. Like, in that way. So, that's one of the reasons I can say again, when people, they need to be close to the elders, close to the people, they have this kind of knowledge, because in only that way we can give orientation, where can good things can come, and how we can save this Mother Earth is dying day by day.
And this knowledge, this, you always referred to it to me as the cosmic education, the cosmic knowledge. The Mayans brought this all over the world once, didn't they?
Yes, it's when we investigate many things, like if we go, example, to La India, okay, long time ago, this is not mentioned, this Omikumba, you can check in books, Valmiki, this Valmiki from La India, he wrote, 2,700 years ago, the Mayas, they came to this place. That's one of the reasons many Mayan names is in the country of La India, because mm-hmm. we went there. But something is difficult for people to understand today. We went there because it was in the time when it went to the end, the magnetic point of the spiritual education. You see, spiritual education came many times, but today in this kind of society we have, the smaller society, only they speak one time. Like, the spiritual education, many people, they came from Jesus, Christian Jesus today. It's true. I agree with that. But happened, the spiritual education, many times, not only one time. See? So, it looks like Valmiki, when he say 2,700 years ago, before Jesus came, the Naga Mayas here, we went there with the name of Naga Mayas, because it is the time when in this continent went to the end, the spiritual education, the magnetic point of this place, move to La India. See? Then, from there, begin to come many teachers, masters, like Buddha, like Krishna, like Zoroastro, like the Saint Jesus. But, that's one of the reasons exists that understanding. With the Maya, I know, with the Mayan culture, I know, I can understand many secrets of the Hindus. The reason is because we are the same people with the same knowledge. But the terrible things happened this. Went to the end, to that place of La India, that is spiritual education. It's no more. Just when the English people, they went to La India, begin to cut down all that power. And then the people, they tried to keep this knowledge going to Tibet. And then when he went to Tibet, they was there keeping this deep knowledge. But one time, the Chinese, they went inside too. When the Chinese went inside a place, they finished the spiritual education in that place. That's one of the reasons the Dalai Lama traveled very much to many places, because they need to relocalize, another place where they need to grow again the spiritual education. It's no more exists in that place. some remembrance of the great teachers they bring with this knowledge, like Jesus. Now they need to move to another place, because in that way work the spiritual magnetic point of the education. In that way work. One time it was in Lemuria, another time it was in Atlantis, another time we had the Mayas here, but later they went to that place. So we need to come to another place. So that's the great connection we can have today. In that way we can understand the Hindus, and in that way we understand what's coming in the future for the spiritual education.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction, and importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph, before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells. Yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Cresson Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by 3 U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time. So the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
We also had many, many Mayan temples, and we had Mayan roads and settlements here in the Americas, in the Northland here, in the land of the eagle.
Yes.
Remember the Miami Circle when that was going on, and you told me about all the other places that I would find?
Yes, that's very interesting, because this, again, coming back to the all these people, like the archaeologists and the anthropologists and all the official system we have. You know, when they speak the Maya, about the Mayas, only they mention this area when I live now, which is
right.
Yucatan, part of Mexico. But the Mayas, we went to many places. If we went to like India, how can easy it was go to North America, you know. Many secrets we understand, like example, where it's coming from, the name of Mississippi River. Nobody knows, but in the Mayans, I know, in the seven levels of Maya, we say Mississippi, we say Mississippi, Mississippi, Mississippi. That it means Miss is like clean, Pil is when the water went up. So, for us, the Gulf of Mexico, it was a lake. So, many thousand years ago, from that river came all the water, later made the Lake of Mexico in a sea and connected with the Atlantic. You see? But in the name, in the name of Mississippi, is a mystery for us, the Maya, an explanation on how happened that. many years ago, when I was in that place, I went to check something in the river, Mississippi River, and I saw in some places, long time ago, the water, it went up 100 meters up. So that it means when all that glass, you know, all the water came from the big lakes you have there in the area of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So they came all the water in the last glass age.
And they created a freshwater sea.
They create all this and came all the water and transport everything. So many, many words you have there, they don't know where it's come from, that name. Like Mississippi is not English. Like Manhattan. Manhattan for us Maya. So they have many names there. So they don't have the explanation. And this is very funny, again, they mentioned something very funny. When I went to New York City, so I tried to understand why they say Manhattan. So I did some investigation and I went to big library you have in the city, Manhattan City, New York City. They went to make some investigation about what the high society in the United States or the university know about that name. So I checked in many books, and the only explanation I find in the library in New York is saying Manhattan is an indigenous name, but they don't say what kind of language is that or what kind of indigenous the name came from. See? So until they know about that, but until there. So again, this is a big surprise for me, because you have many universities there in your country. You have many things, it's a very, very impressionant things. But why basic things like name or some place they don't know? I know you have a linguistics people there in the United States with high degrees. Why they don't know where it came from, that word Manhattan or Mississippi. So it looks like something is wrong there. Maybe the mind of these kind of people is not enough to understand anything.
So did you find out where Manhattan came from?
Yes.
Where does it come from?
In Maya we say Manhattan. Manhattan. It means something is going to happen here, and the people can see and they cannot stop. You understand that?
Yeah.
And what happened in New York in the 11th? Something they can solve and cannot stop.
Wow.
Something they saw and they cannot stop. What happened in the 11th, in September?
Uh-huh.
They saw things they cannot stop. What happened? In the name is the code. In the name is the explanation.
Hey, Will, what's that story about the stone that the Cherokee had that had the Mayan symbols on it?
Cherokee.
Well, let's see. I know.
Me one time many pictures about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this description. You know, it's today our mind we use in different way. Not long time ago. Long time ago it's much more pure. Our mind to understand things. Today it looks like we have a many contamination in all ourselves. That's one of the reasons we don't understand many things. For you know the contamination, because you know the kind of culture we have today, they not educate to the humanity with this kind of culture we have today. So I think with that belief like I have from the United States, because when I was traveling there many years ago, so I went to many places and investigated about many places they have huge pyramids. Mm-hmm. Like in Cahokia, in Missouri, they have many pyramids there. So only the area of Miami, I have a book, I got the book there. They speak about 300 pyramids they have in the area of Miami. So in, I think a long time ago, maybe not only the Mayas, many people, they built pyramids many years ago. So not only the Mayas, but the knowledge of the pyramid is the same in every place because, you know, in honor to the father's son, they built the pyramids. And they did that not only in the United States, they did in Egypt, the Incas in Peru, the Mayas here, the Aztec in Mexico City. So I think they have the same idea they did pyramids there in the United States. So remember this is very important. Today, any...
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
The people, they like to go inside the United States. The most part of America is to go inside because, you know, now they have many rules for to go inside. But long time ago, before the Europeans come to this land, you know, the country, you can travel any place you like. So nobody's going to ask you some passport. So I think it's long time ago, it's more free. And then everybody can go in the place they like to go and establish in the place they like to establish. So it was very different. The mentality and the society and everything around human, it was completely different. So the most part, they went to places like Chaco Canyon, and the same people, they went to do rituals in Moctezuma places, in New Mexico, and, you know, they went back and coming and going for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Only when the Europeans came to this land, so they divided the land and they created the country. So that symbol you have, the most probably is from here, and maybe another ancient civilization.
Well, I told you about the caves that I went into in the Rocky Mountains, and deep in these caves were all these Mayan ceramics and artifacts and sculptures.
Mm-hmm.
They were everywhere.
Yeah.
So we know you were in Colorado.
So it's like this.
I think one of the things that people are really concerned about, because up here we have all these interpreters of Mayan prophecy. We have interpreters of what the Mayans taught them. And most of them, in my opinion, but you know that I can be difficult because I learned from you. You have to read, you have to know the whole story. You can't just tell part of the story. It's like, remember when we were looking at the codexes? And you said, well, I can't tell you in part. I have to tell you the whole story. I need the whole codex. I can't just tell from part. I can't tell you the story from part. You need to understand the whole of it. And I know that up here there's a lot of fear because of this
misinformation that you try to share with people, and everybody thinks the world's going to end in a couple of years, 2012. Do you have anything to say about that now?
Well,
take the fear away from people?
First, before to speak about something, it's necessary where it came from. This is necessary. Like, example, I said something about the Chinookie.
Right.
Because it came from that time. But in the prophecy of 2012, well, we need to investigate where it's coming from, that information. Long time ago, less than 200 years ago, came this one of the person, the name's Eric Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And he established it in Chichen Itza. So Eric Thompson is American, and this American guy came to this Mayan land, and he said he went to one place. The name is Coba. It's a huge archaeological place in Yucatan. He went to Coba, and he wrote later. He discovered something about the Mayans. And he wrote about some Mayan calendars, and he mentioned the long count. And the long count, he said, 3,130 years before Jesus and the civilization of Maya started in that year. And he counted from there to the 2012,
right,
and put all together that numbers, and all together that 5,125, and that number, he say, is when it's going to the end, the long count of the Mayas. So that information, the 2012 count, is coming from Eric Thompson. So I don't know, maybe he wrote, maybe he understood about the Mayan inscription. But that, because I'm not a specialist like Eric Thompson, he was. So I don't know if he really discovered something. Because the 2012, this is not the Mayan information of the daykeepers. Is more the information of Eric Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
In all these writings, he present most of the investigators, like surveys and another. He took all that information, and later they begin to say something's going to happen in that year. But the big support of Eric Thompson is not only coming from Eric Thompson. The information Eric Thompson came because he received a lot of support for one magazine, the name in the United States is Times.
Mm-hmm.
That magazine, they put a lot of money to do a documentary to say that Eric Thompson is the truth. So in that way, they went to all the places in the society of the United States, not only the society of the United States, many places in the world, because Times Magazine put all the money to do a huge documentary about this. So Eric Thompson and Times Magazine, it looks like they work together, or I don't know what happened there, but in really that information, they give a big promotion to many places with Time Magazine. Maybe Eric Thompson, he discovered something there in Quebec. So the next time you can come here, I can take you to the place, and you can see this stela where Eric Thompson, he said he discovered all that inscription. Okay? The only things I know is, until today, no Americans, no Russians, not Germans, they know how to read the Mayan inscription. They know something about them. They can make the decipheration of one symbol, two symbols, maybe a few symbols, mm-hmm. but only a few. Remember this, in the place of Pakalbotan, in Palenque, only one big stone, they have the 2,500 glyphs, different glyphs. 2,500. How many glyphs they made the decifrations the Western culture? Maybe 50, 10, 100, I don't know. But if today they don't know how to read the Mayan inscription, so how it did Eric Thompson this? So it's
very... Can't come to a conclusion from partial information.
Sorry?
He's only working with partial information.
Yes.
He's working with a small part and trying to color the whole and say, this is the way it is, and he doesn't know about the other 2,372 inscriptions.
Exactly. So, but most of the people, they've been repeating what Eric Thompson said in his book. So for me, maybe it can happen, maybe not. But in my calculation calendar, it looks like I don't see things. So the most probable is going to happen something, but maybe it's part of the prophecy. But that I don't know exactly. But if something bad can happen to the air, it's because we're the responsible. Humanity is the responsible for all the destruction they're doing in every place. Maybe in that way they can come together in 2012 and what's going to happen. But I don't know exactly about that. But the only thing I'm sure is Eric Thompson, he didn't understand everything about the Mayan civilization.
Well, we say up here is he didn't do his homework. He didn't study at all.
Okay.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hello, Life Vantage. I'm Donny Osmond. You know, with my hectic schedule doing the Donny and Marie show at the Flamingo in Las Vegas, all of the television appearances I do, my daily radio show, touring across the country doing concerts, being a father, a husband, a grandfather. Yes, I'm a grandfather three times. It keeps me very, very busy, as you can only imagine.
Go away, little girl.
I'll always be grateful that I was introduced to Protandim, and that my doctor, Dr. Daniel Royal, studied it. He ran tests, verified it yet again on me, that Protandim does exactly what it's supposed to do. Thanks to Protandim, I know that I'm doing all I can do to fight the effects of aging and oxidative stress from the inside and doing it naturally, helping my genes do exactly what they're already programmed to do.
I cry each night, my tears, I feel like a teenager again.
It's been quite a ride and promises to be even more in the future and years to come. So congratulations, Life Vantage and Protandim. I think it's fantastic.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Wasn't that interesting? Grandfather Hundbots, what do you know about the teachings about the healer, the one that traveled all throughout North, Central, and South America a couple thousand years ago? He presented himself to the Cherokees, and we call him the God of Wind and Water. This, not an Indian, not a white man, but he performed many miracles. Lord Kingsborough, the English member of the peerage, bankrupted himself in the 1700s researching the stories of the healer. And then in the middle of the 20th century, Lucille Taylor Hansen wrote a book about him called He Walked the Americas. And what do the Mayans know about a light-skinned healer that appeared mysteriously among the people and left as mysteriously as he came?
Oh, the only thing I can tell you is it's not a Cristobal Colon that the first person came to this country.
Oh, no.
Not?
Not.
Oh, wow, what are we going to do? We'll have to rewrite history.
So, this continent, you know, one of the big mistakes is saying the new continent. See? And the Europe, the old continent. This is that's not good. It's the air is very old, that's only. And in the area of the Mayas, like in any place in this continent, you can find faces here also. Like the Chinese faces. You can find Yucatan figures like Buddha. Or the same black people, like you can find many, many faces in the place of Coatzacoalcos, in that place, in the same Coatzacoalcos, Veracruz. You can find many different places and different faces in all these continents. You know, I know many places in this continent, any place you can find different race, you know. And what's coming some big surprise, like in Chichen Itza, you can see many faces, they not look like human faces. So it's how old we are here. So, so very old we are in this continent. How many thousand? Not exactly Eric Thompson saying in 2001 is 13 years the Mayans started civilization. That's not true. Another people they write the first Americans appeared in this continent when they crossed the stretch of Bering. That's not true too, because we were here. Where we came from? We don't know exactly, because remember many big lands today is we're not seeing, it's under the sea, like Lemuria, like Atlantida. So for me, all that books they wrote about the beginning of something is wrong. It's wrong because they don't understand. They excavate only 1 meter, and then when they excavate 1 meter, they took from something, they say, aha, this is the truth, and here start the things. You know, is that like the scientific, they work in that way. So the archaeologists in that way were too. So the archaeologists, anthropologists, and all that kind of people. So, but it's not true. We are so very old in this continent, in this land, in all the world. We are so very old. Nobody knows exactly when we start something in some place. You see? So many people, they came here. You can find different races in the same area of the Mayas. Like, the most probably you can go in another place like China, you can find some Mayas there. Or in Africa. Or later you can come to you that you can find African figures here. So, the good thing is maybe in the future, maybe they declare, we don't know exactly when the human started. That's all. It can be much better.
Yeah, there were many stories of the pale one that traveled all over North, Central, and South America, and the story of the Han Kabul of Itzamal, a man who had a symbol burned in his hand. It looked like the symbol of a T, and this hand, which is always the left hand, is found in rock drawings all throughout the Americas. And the city that I live in is named Kabul, for an ancient chief named Kabul. And the people really don't know here what the origin was. The locals really don't know, but I do. So I thought I'd ask you about the pale one, because there's so many stories among my people, the Cherokee, of the pale one. There was a small delegation of Cherokee that went down and visited Don Enrique a few years ago, and they asked Don Enrique, I believe, and you'll have to forgive my pronunciation, but I understand he was a Quechua Mayan.
Yeah, Quechua.
And they asked him, what are the Cherokee to you? And he looked at them and says, well, we're the same people. He said he even knew a place in Egypt that he could refer us to, that we could go and prove that point to ourselves. But there is a website, www.CherokeeNationMexico.com, that you can go to that has pictures of ceramic works side by side showing Mayan people that had a completely different shaped nose, along with people that were very possibly Cherokees, because they had a very similar to a turban that they wore on their head. And the original Kitua people had an inverted nose, kind of like a ski jump. You not being from, I don't know what a ski jump is, but how would you explain it, Robert? Rather a convex nose rather than a concave nose rather than a convex nose.
Ski nose, yeah.
Right.
Both nose.
And but the Cherokee lived alongside the Mayans and traveled up here probably about 1,500 years ago. This is what the Kitua taught Grandfather Red Hat, who was my teacher. And he said that once we, now this was the second time that we came up here. We had been up here before and had migrated back down to Mexico. But about 1,500 to 1,700 years ago, we migrated up here. And of course, that would correspond with the great drought in the Yucatan. And we fought a war with the mound builders, and agreed to intermarry with them. And then later on, we encountered the Six Nations, the Iroquois, Haudenosaunee people, and fought a war with them. And to stop that war, we agreed to intermarry with them. No, excuse me. We agreed to stop speaking our own language and speak their language. So the ethnologists believe that the Cherokee people, based on the language that they hear, are Iroquoian people, whereas we know that we come from Mexico, and we know that our wampum belts are tied in Mexican seaweed. So I thought I'd let you know about the, if you didn't know about the connection between the Kitua people and the Mayan people.
Okay, let me give you this information happening just when I went to Europe this month. We went to do some rituals with the Celtics. So in the end of the ritual, I begin to know to pronounce the name of the sun in Maya, and I begin to say like Maya would say ki ki ki. We say in that way. So just when I finish to mention this name, so the Celtic people begin to say the name of the sun in Maya, and he say in this way, you see? It is almost the same. But in that way, they pray to the sun, the Celtics. See? That's in the north of Germany. So, you see, it's a connection. Maybe a long time ago, we spoke the same language. So, happened the same communication. So, it's good to mention to you this, because maybe we went to the Celtic, or the Celtic, they came here before. Okay?
Well, I'm sure there are ancient connections. We may have all originated in Lemuria and Mu. The Asaga Siddha Mar teachers out of Peru teach that
that the Mayan people originated on Lemuria or Mu, I can't remember which, and that and then later on Lemuria and Mu sank beneath the oceans, and the origin story of my people, the Kitu'a people, is that we originated on an island off the shores of South America, and that that island sank. We had foreknowledge of that and left. So both of these stories line up with each other and seem to indicate that there was a connection. And then when you bring in the Phoenician people who apparently were trading the world's oceans over 4,500 years ago, because they had a perfect knowledge of the geography and topography of Antarctica. And this is known because a Turkish admiral named Piri Reis was in possession of a map, and it was only in the early 1980s that the United States had the technology to be able to look underneath the ice cap in Antarctica and see exactly what the landmass underneath looked like. And it looked exactly like the map that Piri Reis had, but very obviously that map predated the ice cap in Antarctica. And the other connection, the Phoenician connection, is that the bones of the Cherokee people that are buried all the way from Alabama to Pennsylvania along the Appalachian mountain chain, they have the dolichocephalic or long-headed type skulls, which are only found in coastal areas all the way around the world. And the Cherokee did have an outlet to the sea. So it is in all probability that the Cherokee were originally a seafaring people and traveled here, and our stories say that we traveled back and forth by boat to Mexico, but that we originated across the Eastern Ocean. And this is what our people tell. I mean, our people, a lot of our people laugh at these things nowadays. But I have a friend in New York who is a school psychologist who was speaking with some Chickasaw elders. And this man in New York, he is half Nottoway Indian and half East Indian. He was born in India.
Yeah.
And when he was speaking with the Chickasaw elders, he inquired the name of their clan. And he was stunned to hear the name that his father pronounced upon him when he was married, because when a man is married in his caste, that is the time they learn the name of their clan, and it was the same clan. And many, many, many Cherokee words and name places are almost identical to the words that come out of the Brahmin, the ancient language in India. So, you know, the old story that everyone may have, you know, come out of or at least had ancient ties to the Euphrates River Valley may be true. Of course, Zechariah Sitchin's story said that there were parallel colonies that were set up more or less at the same time, both here in the Americas and over across the Eastern Ocean. So I guess we won't know until records are more until we get more records. So what say you?
Didn't you ever see the picture of the Buddha? There are many, many statues of Buddha in India that show Buddha. Number one, on both sides of Buddha, he's got a sunflower. Okay?
Yeah.
And then Buddha is holding maize in his hands.
Oh.
Now, both sunflower and the maize come from here.
Remember the name of the mother of Buddha? It was Maya.
That's right.
It was Maya, that's right.
Isn't that funny?
What's in a name? What's in a name? That's amazing. Well.
Okay. We can go to the end and and we can keep in connection for the next time.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow, but tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandem.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandem, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandem for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better, I feel a lot better, and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandem to the test tonight.
Till the next time, we really appreciate you coming on for this interview. I know a lot of people are going to be glad to have heard from you, and I know they're going to want to hear more.
Well, so we were also, yeah. You know, I mean, Humbas teaches this knowledge in his Mayan mystery schools. He's literally reviving the ancient knowledge. And that's what the Mayan mystery schools are about. So that we don't lose that link to truly understand what's going on.
Okay.
So, people will be able to come to your site, Otter, and connect there.
Absolutely. And so we'll say goodbye to Grandfather Humbas, and this has been the July 31st edition of Prophecy Keepers Radio, and we will sign off. Hope.
We'll see you.
You are listening to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. This is a Native American-owned and operated internet radio station broadcasting from the Missouri Ozarks in the United States of America. We offer listen-on-demand interviews with medicine people through our website at prophecykeepers.com. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, current kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine men of the American Plains, holy people of Africa, or the present-day Ottawahees of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Levant, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. Thanks for listening, and visit prophecykeepers.com today, or simply do a web search for the terms Native Prophecy.
We'll see you.
Ancient connections. We may have all originated in Lemuria and Mu. The Asaga Siddha Marg teachers out of Peru teach that the Mayan people originated on Lemuria or Mu, I can't remember which, and that and then later on Lemuria and Mu sank beneath the oceans, and the origin story of my people, the Kitua people, is that we originated on an island off the shores of South America, and that island sank. We had foreknowledge of that and left. So both of these stories line up with each other and seem to indicate that there was a connection. And then when you bring in the Phoenician people who apparently were trading the world's oceans over 4,500 years ago, because they had a perfect knowledge of the geography and topography of Antarctica. And this is known because a Turkish admiral named Piri Reis was in possession of a map, and it was only in the early 1980s that the United States had the technology to be able to look underneath the ice cap in Antarctica and see exactly what the landmass underneath looked like. And it looked exactly like the map that Piri Reis had, but very obviously that map predated the ice cap in Antarctica. And the other connection, the Phoenician connection, is that the bones of the Cherokee people that are buried all the way from Alabama to Pennsylvania along the Appalachian mountain chain, they have the dolicephalic or long-headed type skulls, which are only found in coastal areas all the way around the world. And the Cherokee did have an outlet to the sea, so it is in all probability that the Cherokee were originally a seafaring people and traveled here, our stories say that we traveled back and forth by boat to Mexico, but that we originated across the Eastern Ocean. And this is what our people tell. I mean, our people, a lot of our people laugh at these things nowadays. But I have a friend in New York who is a school psychologist who was speaking with some Chickasaw elders. And this man in New York, he is half Nottoway Indian and half East Indian. He was born in India.
Yeah.
And when he was speaking with the Chickasaw elders, he inquired the name of their clan, and he was stunned to hear the name that his father pronounced upon him when he was married, because when a man is married in his caste, that is the time they learn the name of their clan, and it was the same clan. And many, many, many Cherokee words and name places are almost identical to the words that come out of the Brahmin, the ancient language in India. So, you know, the old story that everyone may have, you know, come out of or at least had ancient ties to the Euphrates River Valley may be true. Of course, Zechariah Sitchin's story said that there were parallel colonies that were set up more or less at the same time, both here in the Americas and over across the Eastern Ocean. So I guess we won't know until records are more until we get more records. So what say you about?
Didn't you ever see the picture of the Buddha? There are many, many statues of Buddha in India that show Buddha. Number one, on both sides of Buddha, he's got a sunflower. Okay?
Yeah.
And then Buddha is holding maize in his hands.
Oh.
Now, both the sunflower and the maize come from here.
Remember the name of the mother of Buddha? It was Maya.
That's right.
It was Maya, that's right.
Isn't that funny?
What's in a name? That's amazing. Well.
Okay. We can go to the end and we can keep in connection for the next time.
Till the next time. We really appreciate you coming on for this interview. I know a lot of people are going to be glad to have heard from you, and I know they're going to want to hear more.
Humbus teaches this knowledge in his Mayan mystery schools. He's literally reviving the ancient knowledge, and that's what the Mayan mystery schools are about, so that we don't lose that link to truly understand what's going on.
Okay.
So people will be able to come to your site, Otter, and connect there.
Absolutely. And so we'll say goodbye to Grandfather Hunbats, and this has been the July 31st edition of Prophecy Keepers Radio, and we will sign off. Ho!
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay, let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to a electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put him on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, And glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical and, in fact, has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase and most importantly the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the 2-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase one detox, and that in itself is a free radical, and obviously many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45 who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Kind of good.